Okay, so there's a Gemara in Maseches Brachos, and the Gemara says in Brachos Da'avav that Amar of Zera, Igra de Pirka Rahata. You know, the reward, the Igra means the reward for going to the Shir is the going. You know, sometimes you go somewhere, or you go to a Shir, you go to do a mitzvah, and it doesn't work out the way you planned. You don't understand the Shir, or you don't make it there, you get stuck in traffic, and the mitzvah you're going to do, it's over by the time you get there. So the Gemara says, Rav Zera says, just by going, just by rushing to get there, you get schar for that. It's a schar halicha. You get reward for going and trying to do. And then the Gemara says in the name of Abaye, that the Igra de Yarcha, the reward for going to the Yarche Kal. The Yarche Kala, you know, like NCSY has like Yarche Kala. It means like the big gathering, the big shir that they would give once or twice a year. So the reward is duchka. Duchka means the pressure of being there. There were so many people at the Yarche Kal, the shir, that even if I couldn't hear and I was so far away, just the pressure that I'm crammed together with all these people, and I put in the effort to go, and I put in the effort to try to be a part of it, you get rewarded for just standing crowded together. So, you know, the Gemara says that in the Beis HaMikdash, they would be owned in Sufufin. There were so many people there on the Shal Shogalim that they were so crammed, they literally, that their feet were off the ground because their shoulders were crammed together. There were so many people. So why am I telling us this, Gemara? Because, first of all, it could be that we don't even make it close to the rally because there's so many people there and we have to travel so far away. And it could be that, you know, there's crazy traffic, and it's a possibility, hopefully not, because that would be very frustrating for everybody. We have to turn around and just go back home after waiting in traffic over 3 hours. But we should be aware that the Igra de Pirka, the reward for the shir, is just getting on the bus and going. Going and trying to be with Klal Yisrael and being part of the Tzibur and going to be with the rest of the Jewish people, that's rewarding all on its own. And if we make it to the rally and we're so far away and we can't even hear it and we're jammed together with, you know, thousands of our closest Jewish brothers and sisters, okay, then so be it. We get reward for that as well just by being with the people as well. And that's important to know, even if we don't actually make it there or hear anything or don't do anything that's inspiring or, you know, or hear Barry Weber daven, whatever's been going on, all these different things, we still get a reward. And that's important, because what I want to talk about here is what we're going to do. And this is kind of the interface and the intersection between bitachon and hishtaplus, right? That we have to trust in Hashem, that Hashem has a plan, which we'll talk about. And at the same time, we also have to put in our effort. And how does a Jew know where that line is and what's considered appropriate and what's considered, you know, inappropriate in that regard? First of all, we just thought to take a minute to understand, you know, governments and how we deal with governments, and, you know, how a Jew is supposed to relate to, you know, how we treat and interact with our government. Certainly we say, many of our shuls will say a prayer for the United States government. We want it to be successful. We want it to be good for the Jews. Rav Isaac Sher, who was the Rosh Hashiva in Slobodka in Israel, the Yeshiva Slobodka in Israel, and also Rav Dessler writes in his Michta Meliyahu, that there's a pasuk in Mishlei. The pasuk in Mishlei says, Lev Malachim B'yad Hashem, that the heart of the king is in the hands of God. When a person becomes an elected official, something remarkable happens. Whether they become the king of a country or a governor, and they're in charge on a national level, they lose their Bechira. Did you know that? Usually we say we have Bechira Chafshis, right? But when a person becomes a national political leader of a country, you become now a pawn in Hashem's plan for the story of the world. And therefore, it's important that whatever the White House decides to do, or whatever Congress decides to do, it's obviously, in some regards, we need to do our part. We need to do our hishtadlus to try to push things forward and try to make the government pay attention, because, you know, we're going to go and we're going to this rally today, and the other side's going to come and they're going to try to have a counter rally. And each one's trying to do, try to pressure the government in their direction. We need to understand that there's so much we can do, but at the end of the day, any government official who's, we're talking about the president, the king of a country, a prime minister, they, in a certain respect, do lose some of their Bechira, because now it become a pawn in Hashem's, you know, plan for the ultimate goal and ultimate plan of the world. Nevertheless, we do know that Gedolei Gedol Yisrael, from the times of the Gemara, there were Tanayim Vamorim Big Tzadikim who took time off from their yeshivas and traveled to, where was the seat of government at that time, the days of the Gemara? Anybody know? What was the main, what, under whose government were they ruled? Where the Jews ruled? They were under Rome, right? They would travel to Rome and they would visit the city and they would try to, you know, influence. We have stories in the Gemara of rabbis who would take haircuts on, during Chol HaMoed, even though they couldn't get a haircut because they had to look nice to go for the government. We know that the Torah says that Yosef, when he was taken out of the pits to go before Paro, right, he got a haircut because of Kavod Malchus, even though it was Rosh Hashanah. Why? Because it was. We're not saying you can violate Malacha, even Rosh Hashanah, for the sake of government. But someone who's close to the government, you need to do your job, you need to do your best foot forward. Rav Aaron Cutler, the great Rosh Yeshiva, the founder of Lakewood, he would travel to Washington all the time during the days of the Holocaust to try to save another Jew, to try to get another visa, to try to pressure the government to help more Jews. Rav Avram Kamanowitz, who was the Rosh Yeshiva in Mir in Brooklyn, would travel all over the country and try to raise money. One time, Rav Aaron Cutler went on Shabbos in order to get money, in order to get a visa for someone, because it was Pikuach Nefesh. Is it Pikuach Nefesh Mamish right now? Yeah, there are hostages. There are people whose life is on the line. And when we go down, we are walking in the footsteps of those Gedol Yisrael. There's a famous photograph. You can look at it after we're done. You can Google it. Of 500 rabbis who, in the beginning of the Holocaust, went to Washington. They marched on Washington. They tried to get a meeting with the President of the United States, President Roosevelt. And as the story goes, the legend goes, he was too much of a coward to meet with these rabbis. So he went out like the back door of the White House and said he had something else scheduled that day because he didn't want to face them. So many Gedol Yisrael did do hishtavus. They put in the effort to go and to speak with the government, try to pressure them to do what's best on behalf of Klal Yisrael. So one should not think even for a moment that we are wasting time. Do we still need to do tshuva and daven? And obviously, Hashem is sending us a message here, right? The message is not go to Washington. The message is that Klal Yisrael need to improve our ways, we need to improve our davening, our learning, our beinam l'chavero, achdus, all those things we know to be important, that's a message as well. But it's not mutually exclusive. It's not saying, like, if a person goes to Washington, it means they don't believe that Hashem has a plan. No, I do believe Hashem has a plan. And I do believe that Hashem is speaking to us right now. And there's a message for us to improve. But we also have to do our hishtadlus. We have to put in our effort according to the reasonable means that is required of us. The question is, when do we cross over too much hishtadlus? When does it become a problem that we're not being responsible in our avodas Hashem? So there's a. I want to look with you together. I want to read a piece from the Chazon Ish. Okay, the Chazon Ish, who was a one of the great Gedol Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael and in Europe. So he has a sefer called Emuno Bitachon. He didn't print it in his lifetime. It was found in manuscript by one of his family members, and they printed it, I think, after he passed away, so that people, they would know about his views about this very important topic. What is Amuna, and what is Bitachon, and where is the line? What's considered a lack of Bitachon, what's considered a point of Amuna as well? The Chazon Ish would write that many people are mitzafzef bebitachon. To be mitzafzef is like a bird that chirps. They chirp Bitachon. What does that mean? They talk the talk of Bitachon, but they don't always walk the walk, right? He says, for example, an individual who says, no, Hashem will provide for me, and no, Baruch Hashem, my business is doing well, and Parnas is great, and Hashem is taking care of me and my family, everything's wonderful. And this guy owns, let's say, a hardware store, okay? The only hardware store in town. What happens next week when some guy opens up a competition and he opens up the hardware store? What happens to Bitachon? He's suing the guy in Beis Din, right? You can't have competition, he's putting me out of business. And then he's saying Lashon Hara about this guy, that his, you know, screwdrivers fall apart, or his nails are not good quality. People talk a lot about Bitachon, says the Chazon Ish, but when it comes to actually doing it, do they actually practice it? So we're in a bus right now, we're going to Washington. Are we practicing Bitachon, or are we kind of just like, you know, grasping at the air to figure out something to do, but we don't know what to do with ourselves? And the example is actually Yosef HaTzadik. Let's look together, if everyone has the piece in front of them. The example is Yosef HaTzadik. This is in the Chazon Ish, in Perek Beis, in Os Vav. Okay, everyone sees Os Vav. It's a picture of my Sefer, so you have the underline there by Os Vav. Everyone sees that? Let's really see what the Chazon Ish says. He says, Im ki ikre habitachon mechovas halev. He says, the center point of bitachon is the chovas halev. It's what's in your heart. U'mistafim mimenu mitzvos ma'asios. But from what's in your heart, you also have how we practice our mitzvos. B'chovas shel menia mipu'ulos neged chavero. For example, a person tries to prevent his friend from doing something. V'yish b'zeh gedarim b'pu'ulos shel hishtadus hamutaros. There are certainly normal hishtadlus, right? A person has to go to the doctor when they're sick, right? A person has to get a basic education to be able to provide for themselves and their family. That's normal hishtadlus. And that's mutzer, says the Chazon Ish. We are not expected to simply sit in our house all day in a chair with a Sefer Tehillim and say, Hashem will provide, and you know, Hashem will take care of everything I need without doing anything, right? They tell a story about a person who was, there was a flood, right, and they sent trucks in to get the people out before the flood, and the guy said, no, Hashem will provide, Hashem will take care of me. And then they sent in, the flood started coming, and they sent in boats, and one boat came by, can we take you out? And said, no, Hashem's going to save me, Hashem will provide. And the guy had to move into the next floor of his house, and another boat came by, and they said, you know, do you need help getting out of this flood? No, Hashem will take care of me, everything's fine. And then finally there was no more boats, the boats couldn't get in, and the guy's now sitting on the top of his roof. And then the floodwaters are moving more and more. And finally, a helicopter comes, and they're flashing the lights down, and they throw down one of those ladders. Come up, you know, please, come with us. No, we're going to save you. No. Hashem's going to protect me. Hashem's going to be fine. Don't worry, everything's going to be good. And then finally, the waters come up to the top of the house, and then the guy drowns. So he goes to Shemayim, and he turns to Hashem, and Hashem says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, I trust in you. I had bitachon. You were supposed to save me. So Hashem said, I sent you a car, I sent you two boats, I sent you a helicopter, and you didn't take any of it. So that's foolish, right? That's obviously foolish. But we do that sometimes as well. Right? We say, no, Hashem will take care of us, I'm not going to go to the doctor, I'll just say to him, you know, I'm not going to put in the effort here, I'm not going to go vote, or whatever it is, wherever these things are. Basic hishtadlus, that's totally normal. And then we're on like, Hashem, where were you? Well, where were you? Like, I sent you many things in order to give you the chizuk in order to be successful. So he says, Ulapa'amim, habitachon misnaged lehishtadlus va'osim tzam yuchadim. Sometimes bitachon is against bitachon, and the hishtadlus is usur to do certain things. Vine, nischaivenu ladun b'machshavasenu kopula terem asiyasa. You have to analyze every single act, says the Chazon Ish, before you do it. Imhi muskemes minus bitachon. Is it agreeable with bitachon? Am I trusting in Hashem, or am I doing something else? The something else is what we need to learn about right now. The Chazal Amru b'Medrash Rabba. This is a Medrash Rabba in Parshas Miketz. It's in Perek Pei Tes, chapter 89. Ki ishtadlusa she Yosef atzadik levakesh misar hamashkim v'hezkartani. Right? We all know this story. Yosef is thrown into the dungeon. He gives the reading of the dreams to the Sar HaMashkim, Sar HaOfim. The dreams come true, right? The baker is killed, and the Sar HaMashkim is put back. And before the Sar HaMashkim is put back in his position, what does Yosef tell him? Please, what? Remember, his Kartani. Remember me before Paro. Please. Don't forget about me. Haisa kizilz b'midas habitachon. It seemingly was a lack of bitachon according to Chazal, right? V'amru ashrei hagever asher shem Hashem mivtacho. It says, praiseworthy is the one whose trust in Hashem, ze Yosef, v'lo pana el rahavim. But then, and he doesn't turn towards, you know, the haughty, people who are too full of themselves. Shebishvil shepana el sar hamashkim nisosef bo shtei shanim. So he was added another 2 years because of what he did. But Salomar, Yosef Yedash Ein Hatzalaso Taluya Bishtandos Bahakol Miyad Hashem. Yosef knew that everything was in the hand of Hashem, and it wasn't up to his Hishtandos' efforts. But what would we expect, right? If we were in jail and we needed to get out, and someone came and said, you know, I have a connection to the government, you know, the president can pardon you, why would we not do that, right? So what did Yosef do wrong, says the Chazon Ish, right? Everyone hears the question, right? What do you mean? He that seems totally reasonable
in what he did. So he says that he says, but a person has to do actions. He shouldn't rely on a miracle. He shouldn't take this opportunity. You have a way to get out of jail free. Why would you not do it? Why would you not put in the proper hishtablus? Rahavim means
balei gaiva. People are very haughty. What's the Chazanish say? He says Yosef knew the Egyptian people very well. He'd already been living there for a number of years. He knew what their personalities were like. He knew that they did not think about other people. They were only concerned for themselves. He knew the personality. On top of that, I'll add to the Chazanish's question. If you were sent to jail because you put like a bug in Paro's, in his cup, right? And then Paro is clearly insane because he sends people to jail for bugs in his wine, right? Or pebbles in his bread. He's clearly out of his mind. And then Paro, at a whim, because he's crazy, takes you out of jail and puts you back in your position. Do you think that the first conversation, or the second conversation, or the third conversation that you're going to have with Paro is, hey, Paro, do you remember that time where you thought he almost killed you and you put me in jail? Would you ever bring that conversation up again? So what was Yosef thinking, right? It's a crazy thing. We think, oh, like, what's the big deal? Of course Yosef's going to say, please remember me, go to Paro. And the Sar Mashim's like, is that Jew out of his mind? I'm going to go and talk to Paro again about the thing that almost got me killed. I'm not going to talk about that thing ever again. Right? So, says the Chazanish, what he was doing was rak mitoch yeish. This is the concept of grasping for straws. We've heard the phrase before? What does it mean to grasp for straws? What does it mean? Yeah, what does it mean to grasp for straws? You've heard the phrase before? It means a person is drowning, and because they're drowning, there's nothing around them. They're literally just like reaching for absolutely nothing. Even a straw. Is a straw going to pull you out of the water when you're drowning? No, it's not going to help you, right? So that's where the phrase comes from. Yosef, says the Chazanish, and only the Chazanish can say this, I can't say this, was grasping for straws. He was misyayish, he had given up. He was just doing crazy things. He had lost his bitachon at that point. Emuna, says the Chazanish, is that everything comes from Hashem, even the bad, right? Everything works with Hashgacha Pratzis. That's Emuna, right? There's a story that we like to tell often in school about Rav Shimon Schwab and Rabbi Pesach Kron. Rabbi Pesach Kron was 20 years old when his father was Nifter, and he eventually had to leave yeshiva and go become a moel, which he was quite successful at for many, many years. So Rabbi Pesach Kron, his father was very sick, and he would visit his father in the hospital on Shabbos in Washington Heights and in New York City. And the Rav in Washington Heights was Rav Shimon Schwab, who you all know from Rav Schwab on Eov, Yeshayahu, Tefillah, all the Svarim we learn in school, right? So on that Shabbos, he would eat his meals and go visit his father in the morning in the hospital in Washington Heights. And he came back from the hospital one day on Shabbos for the Suda Shabbos lunch. And Rav Schwab asked young Rabbi Kron, how's your father doing? And what did Rabbi Kron say? I have bitachon that everything will be okay. And the Rav Schwab got very, very serious. And he said, that's not what bitachon means. Bitachon means that Hashem has a plan, even if you don't like it. That Hashem has hashgacha pratzis, that he's running the world. It doesn't mean that if I think it, therefore it will be good. Where does it say, where did we ever sign a contract with Hashem that Hashem has to do whatever we believe in? Does it say that anywhere? No. Hashem has a plan. Bitachon means that if something happens in Eretz Yisrael, whether we view it as good or not, it's all part of Hashem's plan. Is it hard to swallow? 100%. And should we be sensitive all the time? We're not saying we shouldn't have a heart and say, well, Hashem has a plan, so 240 hostages, Hashem will figure things out. We should have, but we have a neshama. We should feel, and we should feel the pain of other people. I heard a beautiful idea from Rav Asher Weiss the other day. He said, well, this discussion of tzaddik v'ra'la, why do bad things happen to good people? So he told the, there's a comment of the Kedushas Levi. The Kedushas Levi writes in Parshas Kukas that the following story occurred in the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was the Gadol Hador. He was a very big tzaddik. His son was very sick. And he asked his friend, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, who is known to be a very big tzaddik and a very big miracle worker, to daven for his son. So his wife overheard the conversation. And she asked Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the Gadol Hador, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, you're the Gadol Hador. Why do you need Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa to daven for our son? So you know what he said? He said, I am like a tsar. I'm like an officer of the king. But my friend Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, he's like an eved of the king. He's like a servant of the king. So he, the servant, can kind of like go in to the king whenever he wants, right? If you're the defense minister, can you walk into the Oval Office whenever you want? No, you need an appointment, right? But if you're the waiter in the White House, you can walk in wherever you want, right? Because you clean the bathrooms or you bring the president his lunch. You come in out whenever you want. So the lower you are, you kind of get more access, right? Everyone understands? So he said, for that reason, that's why I asked him to daven. So Rav Asher Weiss said, that's a funny thing. But you're the Gadol Hador. You're Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Well, your tefillos aren't more effective? So listen to what he said. The Kedushas Levi explains as follows. He said that the tsar, the officer, if you're the minister in the government, right? If you're a defense secretary, whatever it may be, you understand how everything is made, right? You understand what goes on behind the scenes, right? You understand, like we always like to say, you don't want a person might like hot dogs, but you never want to see how hot dogs are made, right? Because then you're probably not going to eat hot dogs ever again. Right? You don't know how it goes. If you see behind the scenes, you know all the inner workings of what's going on. But if I don't know what's going on, so then I just kind of like see what's going on in front of me. He says, a person who doesn't know, he says, if you're a very, very big Talmid Chacham, and you know all the secrets of the world and Kabbalah and things like that, so you see, oh, there's pain and suffering in the world. Well, I know Hashem has a plan. It's all part of the plan. So are you as pained by people suffering? If I know and I'm conscious all the time that, you know, Hashem has everything worked out to every single thing, am I as pained? Why not? Why am I not so pained? Because I know Hashem has a plan, Hashem has to work it out. But if I am just, if I have very simple emuna, and I see someone who's suffering and in pain, what do? I cry out because I'm so pained that another Jew is in pain. So he said, I'm Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. I'm the Gadol Hador. I know and I understand what's going on in Shemayim and all these things. So when I see people suffering, I daven, but I'm not as pained. Because I know that Hashem has a plan. Rabbi Chanina Mendoza is a big tzaddik. He's very, very simple. He has a lot of simple emun in Hashem. And when he sees another Jew who's in pain, then what? He davens with all that pain and suffering as well, because he feels their pain. And that's why his davening is what? His davening is more powerful. He says, Rav Asher Weiss, that's maybe why we can understand tzaddik v'ra'lo. How come Hashem doesn't reveal to us why the righteous people suffer? Why are there hostages that's being taken right now? And why are there innocent soldiers who are being, you know, killed every day in Eretz Yisrael? Why is that going on? Maybe Hashem doesn't want us to know the plan so that we daven with more kavana, more feeling, more pain, so that we feel about the pain of our fellow Jews. So of course you should feel the pain for other people. But at the same time, we know that Hashem has a plan. What's bitachon, says the Chazon Ish? Bitachon means that I live my life now with that understanding. I live my life and I act with the appropriate hishtadlus. But, and this is what the Chazon Ish means, I don't fall apart when my plans don't come, right? Sometimes I go to the doctor or I have my grand plan the way things should be and it doesn't work out. And what happens? A person's depressed, they're anxious, they fall apart, they can't function the next 2 days. That's a lack of bitachon, says the Chazon Ish. Never lose your mind. Yosef, says the Chazon Ish, he lost his place. He knew that what he was doing was just grasping for straws. It didn't make any sense what he was doing. If we're going to do hishtal, this needs to make sense. Why are we on a bus right now going down to Washington? Because people who are involved in politics, people involved in the government, people who know how these things work say, this is an effective thing. If it was a waste of time and the experts on the ground felt that what we're doing was just grasping for straws, like Yosef asking the Sar HaMashkim to remember him, then we would not be on this bus. But the people who know, the people who understand say,
this is a proper and reasonable form of hishtadlus. Asking the Sar Mashkim was useless because Mitzrim were ungrateful and they didn't care about Yosef. It was grasping at absolutely nothing as well. So let's finish what the Chazon Ish says, and then we'll try to draw it to a conclusion over here. He says, "V'hamiyuyash, the person who gives up, who's totally lost his mind, osa koma sheyachol af devarim rechokim mikol toeles, a person who's doing improper hishtalvus and doesn't have good bitachon, just does every crazy thing." Every single WhatsApp that comes in, they just do whatever it says, and every single email, and they're running around with like a chicken without the head on. Aval ein lebotech lasos kmo eila, a person with mitachon doesn't do whatever comes their way. They don't grasp at anything. Vein pula zum befu elas hachova, v'yesh b'mais zek ein zurias avak al zohar amun of mitachon. When you do things like this, it's like throwing dust in the eyes of emun and bitachon. You're just doing things that don't make any sense. V'acharei she'ena chova hu asura, says the Chazon Ish, it's actually usur to do such things because it's a lack of bitachon. V'kavanas chazal apula v'lo amidas bitachon she'yosef chalila, says the Chazon Ish, I'm not attacking Yosef. Yosef was a big tzaddik. He was a tremendous human being. He was one of the most important people in Sefer Bereishis. He's one of the leaders of Klal Yisrael. But in that particular action, Chazal are telling us that Yosef was grasping for straws in that particular area. I want to end with one idea, and then we'll try to bring everything together. The pasuk says in Mishlei in Perek Gimel, "Batach el Hashem b'kli libecha." Trust in Hashem with your heart. Don't rely only on your intellect. And the Gra says, the Vilna Gaon says in Mishlei, that bitachon is on a scale. Not everybody is the same. Some people can have more. Some people can have less. It depends on where you're holding in life. We said Ladavid for many, many weeks, right? So do you remember anything from Ladavid? Besides, besides the first line and Achashaltimes Hashem, right? All the famous stuff. We say in LeDavid the same line twice. What line do we repeat twice in LeDavid? What? Kaveh El Hashem, Chazak Nesibach. And then we say again, Kaveh El Hashem. What does it mean to be Kaveh? Like Tikva. What does Tikva mean? Hope, right? I should hope in Hashem. And then it says again, Kaveh El Hashem. Why don't we say it twice? So listen to what the Brisker Rav says. He brings a mashal. The Brisker Rav is not one to tell stories, but he tells the story of a brother who supported another brother, and they were very close. And then one day, the brother who was wealthy told the brother who was poor, this is so silly. Let me get you a job, or let me figure out a real estate deal for you. You'll get involved in nursing homes or whatever Jewish people do to make a lot of money, right? And then you'll figure it out, right? And that's what he did. And know what happened afterwards? The two brothers, they grew apart. Why'd they grow apart? Because he wasn't dependent anymore on his brother. The relationship became less intense. Where do we find that by? What was the curse? You're learning Bereishis this year, right? I know you're not going to get up to this because we learn like one pasuk a month. But the what does it say? What does it say by the Nachash? What was the punishment of the Nachash? But no feet, fine, no feet. And then? He has to eat dust. What did Hashem say by doing that? He said, Hashem was saying, well, you no longer need me anymore. All your food will be on the ground. But that doesn't sound like a curse. That sounds like a bracha. So says the Brisker Rav and say the Mefarshim. What it means is that Hashem is saying, I don't want a relationship with you anymore. You don't need to daven to me. You don't need to turn to me. You don't need to be involved in my life anymore. You do your thing. I'll do my thing. A boteach, says the Brisker Rav, means that the more you have bitachon Hashem, if you have bitachon Hashem, doesn't that mean you're happy with what you have, right? If I am a baal bitachon, I really have trust in Hashem. So says the Brisker Rav, what could you possibly give me? I have everything I need. I hear the question, right? So what's the reward for the bitachon? The answer is more bitachon. The reward for some of the bitachon is more bitachon. Hashem will put you in life in different situations where you'll need to rely on Hashem again and more and more and more, because it will bring you closer and closer to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, to draw us closer. And therefore, kaveh el Hashem, have bitachon Hashem. And then if you have bitachon Hashem, what will you get? What's your reward? More bitachon, more kaveh el Hashem, more hoping and more relationships with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So that, again, I just want to try to, just to put in perspective.
We have like 2.5 more hours, you know, on this bus. We have some time. We're not even near Washington yet. We should not be misyayish. Don't give up. We're doing something chashuv. We're doing something important. We're going to stand with Chal Yisrael. We're going to make a difference that will be helpful for Jews in Eretz Yisrael and Am Yisrael in America as well. We're doing our reasonable, normal hishtatlus. We're not grasping for straws. We're doing it based on what experts say. And we're also displaying our bitachon at the same time, that Hashem has a plan, and we carry the pain of those suffering with us as well. And we know that Hashem has some ultimate plan, even if we don't see it. And we're trying on this bus ride to balance our hishtadlus, that it should be reasonable and normal, but also our bitachon, and trusting that Hashem is going to put us in the right perspective, in the right place. Where is that line? And we'll just end with this. How does a person know if they are doing too much or too little? So the Chazon said, if you're grasping at straws, that's certainly too much. But also, it depends on each person. Some people have a higher level of bitachon, and they can do less hishtadlus. And some people have a less bitachon, and they can do more hishtadlus. Each person is different where they are. It's a scale. It's a sliding scale in different places. And as we take this time over the course of the next few hours, in the course of the next few days and weeks, we should always be balancing this line. Hishtadlus, making phone calls, calling congressmen, putting pressure whenever we can, doing what we can to help Jews in Eretz Yisrael, sending stuff, tzedakah, going to Eretz Yisrael if you can, all of those things. And at the same time, working our bitachon, our emunah, fixing ourselves, taking the message that Hashem is sending us in order to improve the situation for Am Yisrael and Klal Yisrael at large. Okay? Good.
Thank you so much.